With me this evening as we turn to Romans chapter 11. We have taken so many breaks in our Romans series and get off on other subjects. Sometimes there'll be a week or two or three weeks in between. And I'll be honest with you, I just about forget. I guess I could go back and listen to the last message. I just about forget about exactly where we stopped and how we dealt with the verse. So basically, let me begin reading tonight in verse 11. I'm going to actually begin in verse 13. I'm going to focus in on this one verse, basically this evening, in the context of the surrounding verses. And it has to do with Paul and his apostleship and his ministry among the Gentiles. Now, you'll notice with me as we begin in verse 11, he said, "I say then, how they stumble, that they should fall. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more of their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Now, Father, we thank You this evening. Lord, for the Word of God, we thank You for the truths that You've given to us. We ask, Lord, that You would teach us. We ask that You would speak to us this evening. Lord, as we come into this particular chapter, we pray, Lord, for wisdom, and we pray for understanding, Lord, that we might be better servants and that we might be able to witness in a more effective way to others. Thank You, Lord, for this day, for this time. Now we ask Your blessings and anointing upon the reading of Thy Scripture, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, let's take verse 13 this evening and keep in mind, in the context of the surrounding verses, he's dealing with the fall of Israel as a nation and the salvation that is coming to the Gentiles. And he's talking about the riches, the fall of them, rather, be the riches of the world in verse 12. And he says, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles. Then in verse 13, I want to focus in here this evening. And he said in verse 13, he said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles," he said, "I magnify mine office." Now, as we come to this passage, we know that a part of the Great Commission was, that's given in, we'll just say, in Matthew 28 and Luke chapter 24, help me out a little bit, Mark 16, the book of Acts in chapter 1. There's four places that we see the Great Commission given. And the Lord said unto His disciples, these are Jewish disciples, by the way, when He chose them in Matthew 10, the first 10 or 12 verses, He gives us the names of His disciples. Every one of them, they're Jewish disciples. And He called them out of the nation of Israel. And He gives them a commission. He said, "I want you to go to Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the world." So the Gentile regions were included in the Great Commission. This is why that you and I here in America know the gospel, because the gospel has been brought to all lands around the world. Now, the reason I say that is because that many of the Jews did not immediately go to the Gentile world. If you began reading the book of Acts and considered the time frame, it was a few years after the cross, that number of years before Gentiles were hearing the truths of the gospel. And he says here, Paul, he said, "For I speak," in verse 13, "to you Gentiles." Rome, basically, the church is predominantly Gentiles. He said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." Notice he said, "I magnify mine office." To magnify is basically saying that he's not ashamed to minister among the Gentiles. They were considered unclean by many of the Jews. And if you were to come into Christ's earthly ministry, you find that basically the focus was upon the nation of Israel. If you read in Acts chapter 10, the entire story there, you find that Cornelius is getting a vision. And you find that Peter gets a vision. And Peter is this big sheet let down and all these unclean animals in it representing the Gentile world. And God is saying to Peter to go. And as you read that closely in Acts 10 and in verse chapter 11, Acts 10 beginning in verse 34, Acts chapter 11 beginning in verse 1, you'll find that the Jews were not ready at that time to go to the Gentiles. And you'll find that Peter was basically told by God, go to this Gentile. And as we read through the New Testament, through the book of Acts, we see that through that is after that Paul is saved as well, that the door of faith began to be open unto the Gentile regions. Well, the Apostle Paul was a man that God used greatly to carry the gospel of the good news into the Gentile regions. Now, verse 13 again, he said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles," he said, "I magnify mine office." Not magnifying himself, but magnifying the office that God had given to him. Now let's consider this evening, the time we have together, just verses that deals with Paul's apostleship or that would deal with him going into the Gentile regions. Now back up with me, please, to Romans chapter 1. And that's all I'm going to do this evening. If it takes 20 minutes, we'll quit. If it takes 45 minutes, then we'll quit in 45 minutes. But I felt like that as we coming through Romans 11, that we need to take this time to consider why that he said in that chapter that he's not ashamed of his ministry to the Gentiles and that he magnified his office that he would go to the Gentiles. Notice in Romans 1, reading in verse 5. He said in verse 5, "But whom we have received grace," notice, "an apostleship." This is Paul writing now. "For the obedience to the faith among all nations for His name." He speaks of His apostleship in verse 1 and in verse 5. And then I want you to notice in verse 16, he says, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth." Notice, "to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, what we find as we study the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts, we find in the book of Acts that as they began their ministry, Peter in Acts 10 is told to go unto the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul, we're going to find out a little bit later, he had a commission to the Jews and the Gentiles. And that in every city that Paul went into, you can again just read through the book of Acts, the 28 chapters, every city that he went into, if there was a synagogue there, he went to the synagogue first. That is to the Jew, as Romans 1:16 says, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. He would go into that synagogue and preach. And many times they would reject it. There would be some that would believe. Then he would leave that synagogue, and he would go out and preach unto the Gentiles. We read about this, and we read about it in Acts 13, Acts chapter 18. That's where the church at Corinth began. And a number of times we see him going to the Jew first and then going to the Gentiles. Notice again in Romans 15, in Romans chapter 15, let's read in verse 8. He says in verse 8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God," notice, "to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." I don't give some of you time to get there, do I? Brother here is more kind to you in turning in the hymn book. And he gives you time to get there. But notice that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. He was born among the nation of Israel. He ministered basically to the nation of Israel. Now notice in this same chapter, verse 15 and 16, this is Paul writing. He said, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should," verse 16, "that I should minister," should be the minister, rather, "of Jesus Christ," notice, "to the Gentiles ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Here we find that he said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. You may get tired of hearing this evening, but the verses I'm going to give you are verses like this where he says, God has sent me to the Gentile world. Notice in chapter 16, we read this morning, and our message preached from John chapter 10. But in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, he said, Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In these two verses, we find him talking about his gospel, talking about the mystery, the revelation of the mystery. He's talking about being made manifest in the scriptures, and he's talking about preaching this gospel to the nations for the obedience of faith. Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Now, Paul truly was an apostle. He was not one of the 12 apostles, but he truly was an apostle. And the Bible speaks of the signs of the apostles. In 2 Corinthians 12 and in verse 12, speaks of the signs of an apostle. Somebody tells you they're an apostle, ask them for the sign. You read about it there, signs of the apostle. And we are built today upon the foundation, according to Ephesians 2, of the apostles and prophets. They gave us the scriptures. People like Peter, James, Paul, John, they gave us the scripture. We're built upon that. Now let's go back to Paul's conversion. Now I want you to notice what God told him that he would be doing. As we come here to Acts chapter 9, as we begin reading in verse 1, his name is Saul, and he's breathing out threatenings in verse 1 and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, going to the high priest and desiring letters in verse 2 that he may find these of this way. That's what it's called, of this way. And that he may bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And this is where that Paul had met the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to understand it was Paul, or Saul at this time. When Stephen was stoned, it was Saul that was consenting unto his death in Acts chapter 8 in verse 1. It was Saul here that was involved in the persecution of the church. And as we come to chapter 9, we find him again. He's going after Christians, after believers. And God saved him here on the road to Damascus. And the Lord said unto him in verse 5, Who art thou? Or he says, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And in this chapter, we find the apostle being saved. And then I want you to notice the commission that the Lord gave him in verse 15 and in verse 16. He says in verse 15, And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he, talking about Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me. Now notice this. He says here, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name, look at it, before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You'll notice that he's going to preach to Israel. He's going to preach to kings. And he's going to preach to the Gentiles. Every city he went in, he went to the synagogues. Then he went to the Gentiles. He did stand before kings and magistrates. And he became a testimony not only in Jerusalem and Judea, but at Antioch and Asia Minor. And also he was a testimony to those that were in Rome, where that he was martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I turn to this passage to point out the fact of his conversion. And the Lord said the very day that he's saved that he sent Ananias, and this is where the scales fell off of his eyes. He was baptized. And in this chapter, you find him going and preaching in verse 20. It says, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. He began here, and we see him going to the Jews and then also to the Gentiles. Now let's go and look at some more statements by Paul himself, this time in 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy, notice with me in chapter 1, and there's many times that he magnified, not himself, but the office that God had given him. Many, many years ago, I wrote an article titled Paul's Apostleship. It's in the library somewhere back there, and I want to redo that. There's some things I'd like to change in there. But that's been about 20 years ago that we had done that. Now notice in 1 Timothy chapter 1, again we're just going to look at verses that speak of his apostleship. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, reading in verse 13, he's talking about his ministry, his salvation, and he said in verse 12, let's begin there, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Then he said in verse 13, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And he said in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In these verses, the reason I read them, he's talking about his ministry, he's talking about his salvation, he's talking about what God had called him to do and how that he had saved him and had placed him into the ministry. Now notice as we come to 1 Timothy chapter 2, reading in verse 4. He said, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth? Well, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Here's the verse of Matthew, verse 7. He says, whereunto I am ordained, notice, a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. He said, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. See, he was a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says this over and over to magnify the position that God had given him that he might go among the Gentiles that they might hear and that they might believe. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, began reading in verse 11. He's been talking about the gospel in verse 9 and 10. And he says here in verse 11, he says, whereunto, now talking about this gospel, this message of verse 9 and 10. He said, whereunto I am appointed, notice, a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Again, verse 12, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Again, we see his apostleship declared by his own words, and it's said many times in Scripture. Titus chapter 1. In the book of Titus in chapter 1, reading from verse 1. In Titus chapter 1 in verse 1, he begins by saying this, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but it hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching, notice, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. He said that Word was committed to them, been proclaimed through his preaching. And he said, this was commanded by God. So again, we see his apostleship. But it doesn't end here. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, notice here, and I'm not going to give you every verse, but give you a number of them. There's actually other passages besides what we're going to be looking at this evening. In Galatians chapter 1, I want you to notice as we come here, and I'm going to begin reading from verse 15, Galatians chapter 1. He said in verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Now look at this. To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, that is the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them, which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. He even says in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. God Himself, Christ Himself, gave Paul this revelation. That wasn't a different revelation than Peter had, but God Himself gave him this revelation, and He says in verse 16 that he might preach among the heathen. Now notice, as we come to Galatians chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 1. The text I'm really after is about verse 9, 8 or 9, but notice, let's read at least half of this chapter. We're going to begin in verse 1. He makes this statement. He said, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I believe Barnabas was a Jew and Titus was a Greek. So he's got them both there. And this basically coincides with a meeting that we read about in Acts 15. Some of the Jews did not want to accept the Gentiles. So Peter and all the apostles go to Jerusalem for a council meeting. And they go there and meet. Paul's bringing Barnabas and Titus. And Paul declares unto them the conversion of the Gentiles. And Peter stands up and said, yes, by my mouth they also heard as Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He said, the door of faith is being opened now to the Gentiles. And this, in Galatians, is about the meeting that took place in Acts chapter 15. And he says in verse 2, he says, and I went up by revelation and communed with them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Just notice his statements. He's just saying this over and over. And he says, but privately to them which were reputationless by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came and privately spied our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That is, having to be circumcised in order to be saved. He says in verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference, added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, now who is the uncircumcision in the Bible? Jews, heathen. When they saw that gospel was committed unto me, he says, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now, it's the same gospel. It's just a matter of who is it going to. And we know that Peter, the majority of his ministry was among the circumcision. And the majority of Paul's ministry was among the uncircumcision. And we find that in verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, these are the leaders there in Jerusalem, he says, who seem to be pillars, perceive the grace that was given unto me that they might They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go, now look at this, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. I mean, Peter and Paul even had some words later on when Peter was acting a certain way when he got around the Gentiles and so forth. So anyway, we see again here the apostleship of Paul. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Doesn't end here. In Ephesians. It begins in verse 1 by speaking about the gospel. He said in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul," now look at this, "the prisoner of Jesus Christ for," notice this, underline, "for you Gentiles. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now hang on to every word. Notice this. "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." What is this great mystery? What is this truth? Well, obviously it has to do with the gospel. But it also has to do with Jew and Gentile being placed in one body. Here's what he said, verse 6. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ," notice, "by the gospel." He said in verse 1, "I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles." In verse 7, he says, "I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of His power to me, who am less than the least of all saints of this grace given." Now look at it, verse 8, "that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." This gospel, this mystery that was ordained before the foundation of the world, was kept secret since the foundation of the world. And through the apostles, through Christ dying on the cross, and through the Great Commission, it began in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then this unsearchable riches was to be preached among the heathen. Paul saying, that is the commission that God has given me. Notice again in Colossians. Chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, it begins in verse 2 and verse 3, 4 and 5, talking about the saints and the believers and the gospel, as in verse 5, the truth of the gospel. It begins talking about what Christ accomplished in verse 12 through about verse 20 and what He's accomplished and who that He is. And that in verse 20, He says here in verse 20, "and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself," by Him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, in earth or things in heaven, "and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." Talking about the gospel, the ministry of reconciliation here to the Gentiles. He even goes as far in verse 23, said, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul," notice, "am made a minister." Notice the next few words. He said in verse 24, "who now rejoice in my sufferings. For you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God," that is the dispensing out of this grace. It's called in Ephesians a dispensation of grace. He said, "which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God." Again to the Gentiles. Verse 26, "even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints." Verse 27, now look at this, verse 27, "to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, among who?" Again, the Gentiles. "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this is something that we see, again, His ministry had a very unique ministry. Is that He would minister to Israel. He would minister to kings, and He did. But He had a focus that this gospel would go out beyond, and the reason beyond, in Galatia there were at least four churches that the letter of Galatia was written to. Help me out. Derbe, Iconium, Lystra, some of those places. He went in all these regions and preached the gospel, establishing churches in those areas that Gentiles might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, one thing, and I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 1. We'll probably close here. And God called the 12, and then I've had people say to me, well, there are only 12 apostles, and that's it. How many of you have ever heard that? Or read it?
Yeah.
There's only 12, and Paul replaced Judas Iscariot. How many of you have ever heard that? That's one of the reasons I wrote the article some years ago. Now, if that would have been the case, I'd have no problem with that. But that's not what I see in Scripture. There's actually, well, more than 12. There's at least, and I didn't go back and look at this, between 15 and 18 apostles by name here in the New Testament. I mean, you got Silas, you got Barnabas, and you could probably help me with some other names. But there's well more than 12 apostles that are mentioned in the New Testament. And I do not believe that Paul took Judas Iscariot's place. Now, if he did, I would have no problem with that if God said that, but I don't believe the Scriptures tell us that. And let me show you some of the reasons why. As we come to Acts chapter 1, and we began reading here, there's much prayer and supplication going on. The Bible tells us that in verse 13, this is after Christ ascends into heaven, and they're waiting on the day of Pentecost. And he says here in verse 12, he said, Then returned they into Jerusalem. Verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James, and he began listing the apostles here. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So we find to begin with that there's a lot of praying going on. And then we find that in verse 15, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. And he said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which is a guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and obtained part of this ministry. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. In other words, he, falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. Quite graphic in what happened to Judas. And he talks about in verse 19 and verse 20. It's even mentioned in the book of Psalms that this would take place. But I want you to notice in verse 21, wherefore, of these men which have accompanied, with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And here's the names in verse 20 that they're choosing from. And we got Joseph, called Arsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Now, first of all, let me say this, is that these disciples, with the women and so forth, they were together praying. They had just seen the ascension of our Lord back into heaven. They're waiting on the day of Pentecost when they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to begin what we refer to as the Great Commission. And as we consider this, let's not forget about that there was much prayer going on. Even as they made this decision, verse 24, it says, and they prayed and said, Lord, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two Thou hast chosen. I slowed down there to read, think about the wording there. They prayed. They said, Lord, You show us which of these two that You have chosen. Okay? Now, let's keep in mind that they're praying, much prayer and supplication. They're not running on feelings and opinions and emotions or the favorites. In other words, it's not, well, this one's more favored than this one, you know, as we elect deacons in most churches today, which one has the most money and got it, you know, all these kind of things. No, they're not electing this based upon that. They've been praying, they've been fasting, there's much supplication been made, not only of the disciples, but of the entire church at this, the early church at this present time. And I do want to say, even though they have not been empowered in the sense of the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost, I want you to understand that according to John 20, verse 21 and 22, that they do have the Spirit. The Lord had breathed upon them and said, receive the Spirit. And He basically told them, whatsoever bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So keep in mind, He had breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. Keep in mind that they're together praying, fasting, much supplication. So this is not based upon opinions and feelings. Keep in mind that it is the Lord who has made the choice of this other apostle. Also, I want you to keep in mind that as they began to consider, they said here in verse 21 and 22, said, wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that Jesus Christ went in and out among us, being from the baptism of John, unto the same day that He was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of His resurrection. Let me ask you a question. Was Paul with them from the days of John the Baptist? The answer is no. He was not. Did he go in and out among them? No, as a matter of fact, later on, after that Christ is raised from the dead, He's trying to kill him. Okay? So He was not with them as a minister coming in and out from the days of John the Baptist. And they said one must be in order to be ordained to this appointment. And not only that, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 through 8, he recognized the 12 apostles as he writes that letter and him being separated from them. Now, he's a part of this ministry and this great commission, but he recognizes the 12 apostles and him being separate from them. Now, keep in mind, as I said a moment ago, Matthew 16, Matthew 18, the Lord said to the disciples, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm building up to something. Because there is a decision made here. And Paul's not in the equation. Paul is not even saved at this time. And we find that as we read in verse 24 and 25, they're praying. And they're saying, Lord, show us. And then we see that in verse 25, that He may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he went, that he might go to his own place. And then in verse 26, the last verse, they said here, and they gave forth their lots. You would not believe that even in commentaries, some would say, well, they're gambling. They gave forth their lots. You say, would you cast lots today? I haven't. I don't see lots being cast after Pentecost. I did sit with a minister Monday of this past week, and he said in a decision they had to make, a serious decision in the church, that they did pray and fast and cast, drew lots. But let me tell you something this evening. They were not gambling. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:33, I'm not advocating us to cast lots in our church, but it said the lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now keep in mind, they have prayed, they have sought the Lord. Pentecost hasn't come at this present time. And the Bible says here, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And notice, now look at this carefully. Look at it carefully. It's sort of as if, well, I ain't going to say they voted, but still yet they cast lots. Asking God, no favoritism, no feelings, no emotions to go in this. And it says, now look at this. This is what the Scriptures say, not... And then if it says, and He... This is Holy Scripture now. And He was, what's the next word? Numbered with the 11 apostles. 11 and 1 makes what? 12. I think I remember that in school. He was numbered, is that right, brother? He was numbered, I didn't learn a lot in school, but I think I remember that. He was numbered with the 11. So He became the 12th apostle. Their ministry is very important. And as Peter, they had a ministry to the circumcision. They preached to Gentiles, but there was great focus in the first century upon the circumcision. And God gave Paul a unique ministry. Circumcision, kings, magistrates. But He says, I'm going to send you to the Gentile regions. And He went in to those Gentile regions. And again, I think I've already mentioned this. You'll find the choosing of the 12 mentioned in Matthew chapter 10. And I think it's going to be the first 10 or 12 verses. They're listed by name, all 12 of these apostles. And Matthias replaces Judas Iscariot. So you have 12 again, and they're among these apostles. And later, there's other apostles that come in to the play. There's at least, I have trouble keeping all this, but I think there's between 15, I want to say 18, I'm not sure about that, but there's between 15 and 18 apostles total. We're going to close right here this evening, and I just felt like as we got into Romans, and we got into verse 13 of chapter 11, that we need to make mention of Paul's apostleship, since he said, I magnify mine office. All right, let's...